Michael Wheatley, Sales and Business Development at Recurrent. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
Of course, it's awesome to get into conversation with you. Now, I got to ask you, after over 10 years in the automotive industry, would you expect yourself being at a place now where you help dealers and buyers, whether they're buyers or sellers, actually make the process easier when they're buying an EV?
It's an interesting journey because, no, I did not expect to be here. But I had kind of like the switch in heart at one point where I was like, I really want to be a part of something innovative.
Sure.
And I just got lucky and ended up at Recurrent, and that's how we did it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too. Like at Recurrent, you got a great team there, Scott Case and the whole team. And I kid you not, anytime that I turn on CNBC, I'm always like, is Scott Case going to be on this one? Because I saw him on one time and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. Anytime that they're talking about used EVs or EVs as a whole, it seems like they have Scott in there. So like, tell me a little bit, how did you guys get involved with CNBC? And it looks like you also had another shoot like last week with them on site. So what does that look like?
Yeah. I don't know how we got on the first one. That's something Scott and our head of marketing handled, Andy.
Sure.
So, on this latest one, though, we were, I don't know the full story, but somehow featured as one of the most innovative companies in automotive. And so, it's a feature piece on our investors as well as what we do. And it was super cool. Shout out to Joel from Eastern's Automotive Group for letting us film on his site. So,
shout out to Joel. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So, how cool does that feel, Michael, that one day in the past you had a passion to be a part of one of the most innovative companies and you actually did that, and then now it's obvious that other people recognize that, like CNBC and the entire industry?
I got my start in automotive as a driver at an auction while I was working like two other jobs and going to college. So, and now being a part of like a super innovative company, it's a weird but very exciting feeling. It's the last year I just crossed my year mark with Recurrent, and it's been just a wild ride. There was tons of learning. When I joined, I felt like the dumbest person in this company. I still do. Everybody's super smart, which is so awesome. But it's just like,
you are so humble.
Forced growth, man. Yeah. Forced growth.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you know, for someone who doesn't know what Recurrent does, I mean, you guys do a lot of things, whether it's data, insights, looking forward to technology. Like, give someone the elevator pitch on what you guys do at Recurrent, because it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So our whole mission is to really help buyers and sellers, whether that's a consumer, a dealer, or an auction, better understand the EVs that they're selling. And so we do that through data collection initially. So we connect to, I think, nearing 20,000 cars active that are driving on the road right now. Those cars send us data. Obviously, we don't keep any private information, but that data feeds into models that develop the reports that you'll see on like cars.com, Edmunds, and tons of dealer sites around the country. And those go through some really critical but simple information about the range, how this car is degraded, and then answers really the key thing that so many people like on the East Coast, in the North, want to know. It's, how does this car actually, how's it going to perform in my everyday life?
That's right.
Is this going to meet my needs? Can I get to grandma's house and back? how's it going to do in the winter? Am I going to lose all my range? Am I going to get stuck on the side of the road and freeze? We go through all that in the report.
So, Michael, I mean, there's a lot of data that you guys get, and it's cool how it's all centralized. What was one of the most surprising things that you saw data-wise once you were able to look at everything?
Yeah, it's like when we look at all the data, the most surprising thing I think that we discovered in the past few months has been that 90% of the cars we've scored are a 90 or above. So these cars are holding up phenomenally well.
Yeah.
And just to give everybody an insight on what our score means. So if we have like a 97, that's 97% of the original capacity that car had when it was new. And that's cool. Measured in range.
Yeah, that's cool. And again, like, you do this for so many different vehicles, so many models, so many makes, all that stuff. So seeing that data at that level, I mean, it makes a huge impact, not only dealers, but to consumers, whether they're a buyer, whether they're a seller. There's so much information there. And I mean, with your experience, like, you've been all over in automotive in a positive way, on the sales side, on the auction side, like you said, and now on the industry partner side with data. If you look back over the last 10 years at your entire career, or 10 plus years at your career, what have been some of the coolest parts of automotive that you've seen?
Some of my favorites are times when I would meet dealers. So I was at one of the major auctions, and I was a field rep, and I'd go around to dealers, and I'm sorry to all the dealers I bothered. I would literally show up sometimes and just try to chat with you. But yeah, getting last to day know, of the month. never on the last day of the month. No, but just going to get and meet these entrepreneurs, these people who have led businesses for years and years and years, who are scrappy and insanely intelligent in so many cases. And and just seeing the stories and the fact that I came across so many different people from different backgrounds, some from MIT that ended up as dealers, and then people that literally turned their whole life around, that being a dealer was their second chance. So meeting all these people where anybody could become anything. It's just based on how much you're willing to put in. And that was the coolest part by far. And now I get to work with dealers again, because I went through a time in marketing, a time in dealer sales, and then a time with commercial.
Yeah, it's interesting how it all works out at the perfect place at the perfect time with the right people. So here we are basically at the end of the first quarter for 2024. What do you think are some big moves or some changes that might happen in the EV space at the end of 2024 or even next year?
I think the biggest change has already happened, and it's the used EV tax credits. I think that's the biggest area of opportunity. And even if, like, we look at the future, we don't totally know what the future is going to hold. We've had, you know, we had a deadline for 2030 for X amount of percentage to be EV. We have now have that it's a higher percentage, but it's apparently in 2030. I don't think that stuff matters as much as what's going on right now. And the fact that there is a used EV for $25K. There is a bunch of used options that are affordable. You're getting up to $4,000 cash on the hood if your dealership knows how to process that and has signed up to process it. We know it's not super easy. We've heard from a ton of our dealer partners about how the tax credit system is interesting, we'll call it, and it lacks some functionality. But there's so much room still in the industry for dealers to get in this used EV game and really crush it, like really crush it with these sales. We have tons of partners that are capitalizing us. We even have partners who aren't doing it at all. Literally, they're signed up for it, but they have just the higher bracket of used EV. And they're absolutely smashing it this year too, because it's not all the buyers want to be under 25K.
That's true.
We're now seeing like Tesla Model Ys in the early 30s. Phenomenal car for 30 grand. You know, there's just so much room for opportunity and improvement. I also think there's room for dealers, like specifically if you have a franchise that has new EVs. Obviously, there's a struggle to sell quite a few of them, but I think there's room for opportunity stocking some of these used cars. Let's say you're a Ford dealership and you have the Mach-E, which I refuse to call a Mustang. you have the Mach-E and then you have the F-150 Lightning, have a Rivian R1T, have something that your consumers can compare this to, specifically with the Mach-E, stock an ID4, a Tesla Model Y, have a couple so that instead of sending them off to try to drive one with Tesla, which is a really easy buying process with Tesla, especially if you order, but have it so they can do it there, give them an option. And then if there's a few things that you know your car does better, which we know Mach-E's actually drive really nice. They're a really smooth driving car.
They are.
Pull them back. Let them drive and then pull them back to your product. I think there's a ton of room to work that as well.
So I think that's where the big winners in the used in the EV space are, is going to be in the used part of it. I mean, there's so many changes that have already happened government incentive-wise, resource and tool-wise, and when a EV lineup is there side by side on the used side of it, so that consumers can see brand by brand. I mean, that's going to be a big win for the consumer. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the key is investing in the right tools, invest in the education, and have the inventory available to help them, you know, understand what's out there and what's usable for their life. Even if it's a FEV, that we see that 70% of the FEV drivers that we have are considering an EV for the next one. So educate your team, I think, is the most important thing. Fully know what's going on in the market, fully know who your competition is. And then, invest in the inventory, get them in there. And then, like tools like Recurrent, where we have the badges for your site, we can help you evaluate those EVs as they come in from trade, where we're using data from that car to actually give you a verification. on what that range is going to be. And then there's also plenty of sourcing options as well.
Yeah,
that have this data available now, like ADESA, for instance, has recurrent reports on all EV listings that are covered.
Yeah, like it's built in already. That's cool. So yeah. I know the majority of the time you're talking to dealers, but let's flip it to consumers real fast. What do you think is one of the most important things that consumers need to know when they're shopping for an EV?
Does this actually work for my life? I think is the number one thing. You know, like if they're in an apartment, they're on the 9th floor and they have to park, you know, in the middle of a parking lot and they have no access to charging.
Yeah.
EV's probably not for them.
It's
but for your average 2-car family, and this is going to be a daily driver. Maybe they don't go very far. Maybe they're going to the grocery store and back. They both work at home. You could do Nissan Leaf. Nissan Leaf's a great car. They hold up fairly well. Or let's say they drive a 30 miles each way to work, then you've got Tesla, Ford, all of those have options that the range is plenty to get them to and from. And then one thing that people have to understand is most charging is done at home. It's not all done on level 3 fast charging. So
that's
we
true.
Don't have to worry as much. And chance are that most 2-car families have a gas car as well. So that's going to be the minivan that's taken on the road trips. So I don't think it's not as big a concern, but you really do have to consult the customer and figure out what their lifestyle is.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for sharing your insight, and best of luck to you guys at Recurrent and the rest of this year and years to come.
Thank you so much, Jordan. It was a great time being on the podcast, and yeah, thanks for dealing with all my Wi-Fi troubles.
Of course, the honor's all mine.
Thanks for watching this episode of In the Dirt with Asodu. If you're new to our channel, make sure and mash that like and subscribe button. Also, check out some of these links for other great podcasts and content.